Well, it's a joy to be here. It's lovely. Some of you have travelled a long way to get to this conference, and the Lord bless you. I haven't travelled that far, really, just up the road. I'm now living here in Auckland, have been for the last 6.5 years, and just because most of you really don't even know who I am, I thought I'd share just a little bit of who I am, where I've come from, and some of the background that has brought me to a place where I feel that God has placed me in this place today to be able to share the Word of God. It's always a very special privilege to share the Word of God, and I feel very privileged about that. Just to let you know just a little bit about who I am, I'm originally from a little place called Matata. Matata is a little place, blink and you miss it, just 20 minutes this side of Whakatane, just north of Whakatane, and I grew up in that little town. There were probably a maximum of 800 people in the village, but my dad was, he actually did lots of jobs, but one of the jobs he did was he managed a lands and survey block. And he was a farmer, really. He might have been a whole heap of things, but he was really a farmer. And so I'm a country girl landing up here in the middle of the city. And it's really interesting because I'm surprised how much I love it. And I know it's only because of what God's placed in my heart that gives you the ability to love somewhere that is quite different to what you're used to. And I've lived overseas for probably 10 years, had the privilege of being involved with an organization called International Outreach for 9 years, traveling as a healing missionary evangelist, and that was a great, great privilege and a great joy in being part of my life. I loved it. I had the privilege of traveling a lot, of which I absolutely loved in those days, but let me tell you, I love sleeping in my own bed every night. I'm enjoying that. And I've been home in New Zealand here for 10 years now and love every minute of it. I'm just so grateful that God brought me home. I wasn't convinced that he was ever going to do that, although I had a desire in my heart. I should have known, shouldn't I? Because God does give you the desires of your heart. And so 10 years ago, my home church, where I was sent out from in Whakatane, where I came to know the Lord, and there were 12 people in that church when I first went a few years ago. There's probably 200 in that church now, and so I felt very connected there, and they sent me out and they asked me to come home to be on the staff. So at that time, it was a very vulnerable time in my life. My mum had just passed away, and so I needed family and they needed me. And it was like the Lord just opened the door, because he knows again what's in your heart. And so I was able to come home, and I was in Whakatane for 3.5 years, and have now been here in Auckland going on 7 years, 6.5 years. And so I really thank the Lord for that. I am now pastoring, associate pastor of a church in West Auckland, and it's a lovely church. I love it. It's growing. When I first went there, it was very small, but it's growing and growing, and God is doing some lovely things. The lovely thing about it, too, is when I first went to that church, it was Spot the White. It's very, very interesting. There were so many brown people. They were all brown. There maybe have been that many white people in our church. But because my gift and my love for people, I don't care whether you're green, orange, purple or pink. And the gift that God's put on my life is across the board. And I really thank God. We've got probably about 25% white people in our church now. So it's quite lovely. And which is really lovely, because I come from a culture in my family. My dad is a white New Zealand man, and my mum is a Māori lady. And so I am half New Zealand, white and Māori, and I'm very proud of each of that, every drop of both. And I thank God, I think I've got best of both worlds, really. And God has been very faithful to me over the years. My background, I had a wonderful, wonderful role model as a mother. She was a wonderful Christian woman. She came to know the Lord when I was 4.5 years old, and was filled with the Holy Spirit and taught us to love God right from a little child. And in the midst of that, my dad was a hard working man. He had some issues in his life. He was an alcoholic. And so there was a lot of yucky stuff that went with that, unfortunately. But that's life. And that was life in my family. And so I had a really tough time as a child, really, and recognizing who I was. The other thing was, I went to this little school, country school, and I was too brown to be white and too white to be brown. So it was really a strange situation, because I really didn't know who I was. And it wasn't until I was 19 years old, when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, that I began to realize who I really was. I'm a daughter of the living God, Princess Cecily, hallelujah. And although I thank God for every part of the culture that he's brought to my life, both Māori and white, I thank God for it. I know who I am. I am a daughter of God, and one who has the authority and the inheritance of being a king's kid. And what I have to do is learn to walk in that, and learn to walk in his Holy Spirit and the guidance and the power of the presence of God. So it is a great joy for me to be here today. I was praying and praying and praying about what to speak at this conference, because nobody actually gave me a theme. And so I thought, well, God, you know, you and I, we're pretty good. We can come up with themes. And so I'm actually probably not going to have a theme. I'm going to go all over the place. But for today, the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly to me about speaking from the 23rd Psalm. You know what? I love that psalm. I love it. And traditionally, it has been a psalm that we die by. Hasn't it? I mean, you know, every funeral I have ever been to in my whole life, or almost, they either sing the 23rd Psalm, or somebody reads the 23rd Psalm, or we sing it as a hymn, you know, at a funeral. But, you know, when the Lord began to speak to me about that, he began to say, Cecily, this is not a hymn that you die by. This is a hymn that you live by. And so today, I'm probably not going to be able to get through it all. So let's try go for the first three verses. What do you think? We'll try go for the first. But let me read it to you. Let me read it to you. Over the weekend, you'll hear a little bit more about me, and a little bit more about me, and a little bit more about me as I give my testimony on tomorrow morning and a few more things. But one of the things I want to tell you about me now is that I laugh if I'm happy, I laugh if I'm sad, and I cry if I'm happy, and I cry if I'm sad, and I cry if I want to. And I'm just one of those emotional beings, one that God, and most of us women are just like that. Not all of us are made like that, but most of us are. And I always say it was my mother's fault. She used to cry about everything. It was amazing. I remember when I was a child, she was the best Bibles and schools teacher I ever had. I was so embarrassing, though, because she would cry when she prayed. And I was 12. Can you imagine that? How scary that was. And I used to come home and say, Mum, you know, you were fantastic today, but why did you have to cry? Now I know, as I get older, I get worse. It just can't happen. So the anointing comes on me and tears start rolling down my face. And so please, if I cry inappropriately, just ignore it, okay? So let's read Psalm 23. I have practiced this on somebody else, this message. I preached it in my church last Sunday. And I said to them, you know, I'm actually practicing. I'm practicing on you guys so I get it right for the conference that I'm going to. Let's read it together. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Most of you have got my version. How cool is that? He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. And you know, like I said, this was traditionally a psalm to die by, but as I began to just say, Lord, tell me what it is that you have for us to live by in this particular passage, I guess I began to just really say to the Lord, okay, Lord, you just show me what it looks like. And so there are many things in this. And so I'm just going to start off with these three. If I was going to entitle this message anything, I would entitle it, number one, my provision. My provision. Number two, my restoration. And number three, my righteousness. My righteousness. And, you know, the Bible says, and I love it. I love that scripture. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, the Living Bible says it like this, and I love what the Living Bible says. It says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Well, that's putting a slightly different slant on it, isn't it? It's a different aspect of what this word is talking about. And so, as I began to think about that, I thought the first thing was, it says, I have everything. That's talking about my provision. It's the provision of God and his promises that he has given to me for my life. And so I began to think about that, and I thought, Lord, you know, what's a story in the Old Testament that really brings that to pass in such an amazing way that we in particular women would really understand? And the scripture that came to my mind was in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you'd like to turn with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting from 1 to 7. I'll read it to you. Now a certain wife, a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditors are coming to take my two sons to be slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all of those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons shall live on the rest. And you and your sons shall live on the rest. You know, as I began to read this story, here was a woman who was a believer in God. She was one of the wives of the prophets, and her husband has died. And unfortunately, sometimes you don't know when these things are going to happen, and they just do. And, you know, you don't expect when you get married that you're going to have a family and then your husband died, or vice versa. And or even in this day and age, it's very real where you end up where there's a divorce in your family and you don't have a husband or a wife. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you don't expect that when you get married, that that's going to happen. Don't tell me you think to yourself when you get married, you know, my husband will die in 5 years and I'll have three kids and, you know, that kind of stuff. It doesn't happen. It's something that becomes unexpected. And so you don't always plan ahead for some of those things. And they didn't have insurance in those days, and they didn't even have, wives didn't even have widows' benefits or benefits for mothers with children. Do you know what I'm saying? Single parent benefits and things. And so there was no provision. So here was this lady. She was in a desperate state, and she heard of the prophet of God, the head man of God, the honcho, as it were, in that day. And her husband had been one of those prophets and had been with him. And she had probably heard of the wonderful miracles that had happened, that Elisha had performed, where all kinds of amazing things happened. And she was in a desperate state, knowing that she had debt and that these debt collectors were going to come along and they were going to take her sons away from her, really the only provision that she had. And in those days, having children was like, wow, that was insurance for you, really. Because their children would grow up and then they'd look after you in your old age. And that's basically, that was in the culture of that day. And so in the midst of that, here was this woman who really was in trouble. She was crying out to the man of God. She said, Elisha, this is what's happening to me. Here we are. And so this was an amazing thing. You know, the first thing that she did was she cried out. She cried out to the man of God. She cried out. In her desperation, she cried out. You know, the word of God says, you have not because you ask not. It says that in James chapter 4, verse 2. I love that passage of scripture. You know what? It also goes on to say, you do not have because you ask amiss. You ask so that you will be blessed, so you will be comfortable, so that you can live in your little comfortable world. That's not what it's all about. It's so that you can be blessed, so that you can begin to bless others and grow the kingdom of God and the things that God has got. This little mentality that we have in this day and age, and it's getting worse by the generation, I believe. More selfish and self-centered and small unit thinking, where family and have moved away, so you don't have the same support systems and all of these things. I don't know about you, but it's become very evident in this generation. And we live our own insular lives in my family, and I guess in my culture, it's a little different in that our elderly people live with us. My grandparents lived with me until they died, with us until they died. And in my culture, it is a little different. And I know with a lot of the Māori and Pacific Island people that are in the church that we're, but generally in New Zealand culture, it's actually generally across the board, it's not like that. And we're becoming more insular as we go. And so with a desperation, they would have had the same kind. There's people in that same lonely, desperate place. But the word of God says, cry out to God. Cry out in your need. Ask and you seek and you shall find. Ask and you will have. And I believe we need to begin to do that. See, God is wanting to look after the things that are important to us too. He really is. He's wanting to look after us. He's wanting to look after. See, I don't have any children. I'm a single woman. And I don't have any children, I don't have any family yet. I might have a husband one day, who knows? God knows. And he also knows what's in my heart. I would love a husband. The truth is I would love that. But I don't know if God is wanting to do that in my life. I would love for that to happen. I can't see why it shouldn't happen. And earlier on in my life, the love of my life really was a very special man, and he was killed in an accident just before we were to be married. So it was a really fairly tough experience, and so I haven't been that excited to go there again in many, many times. You know what I'm saying? So there's all kinds of reasons why things don't happen, and God is dealing with issues in my heart, and I'm growing too, and growing more free as time goes on. So God really knows about where we're at. But in the midst of that, I want you to know that it's really important, because I believe that God really cares about our provision. He cares about us being provided for. I remember thinking to myself, what's going to happen to me when I get old? But you know what? I've invested big times into my nieces and nephews. I've invested big time. And they know it. And I love them like their parents love them. Sure, I'll never be their parent. But if their parent's not available, guess who is? And in the midst of that, so I've invested where I know it's important, number one. And number two, I trust God that he is bigger than children or a husband. He is my provision and my security, not a husband and children. And you know, we have to come to that place where we can come straight to God and say, God, here we are. And but here was this woman, and she was in this particular place. But you know, God wants, he cares about the provision for each of our lives. It's really important that we know that. And whatever situation we are in, individually, uniquely, he looks at us. He doesn't look at us on a big, huge chain and say, here they all go, dun, 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 dun. It isn't like that at all. He looks at us uniquely in our own situations. And that's what you have to come to know in your heart about God. And you know what? You can never come to know that about God until you come to know him. Until you come to really begin to learn to trust him. Begin to say, God, you're amazing. Well, you know, 10 years ago when I came home to New Zealand, I had been working for a missions organization for Love for a lot of years. And I didn't have absolutely anything. But I want to tell you that when I came home, God provided for me miraculously, amazingly. I have no idea. All of these amazing things happened, and I bought a house in Whakatane. It was incredible. I just couldn't believe it. Suddenly I got this nesting instinct, and I decided I needed somewhere to settle in. And God provided. It was amazing. And then I left Whakatane, just got settled, had this lovely little home, got left Whakatane and thought, oh no, I'm going to Auckland. But guess what? God is just as faithful in Auckland as he has been in Whakatane. I have my own home here, well, the bank has most of it, but hey. but I have my own home now here. I was able to sell my house in Whakatane, and when I was renting it, they were paying my mortgage, glory to Jesus. And I now have my own home here in Auckland. Now, the difference between Whakatane and Auckland is a triple mortgage. So guess what? I have to trust God again. And when I'm talking about provision, I've got a little story to tell you. Now, it's not quite as desperate as this lady who is going to have her children taken away. But when I came to Auckland and I was, and I decided to have this, I've actually only moved into it in the last 3 months, so it's just gorgeous. And it's a little piece of paradise in the middle of Auckland. It's not in suburbia, thank you, Jesus, because I'm a country hick. And it is a little piece, it's a trees all around. I've got greenies living on both sides, hallelujah. And nobody will ever build me out, and I've got a stream running in the back. of my oven. It's just lovely. And I got it for a miracle price in Auckland, in the Auckland prices right now. And so God was so good to me. It wasn't actually the house that sold it to me, it was the property. And so in the midst of that, it was such a blessing. Now, I had got used to this kind of lifestyle where I had quite enjoyed going to a cafe for three times a week with my friends. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, that costs you a bit. And now I had a mortgage triple the price. I don't think I'll be doing that too often these days. But I said to the Lord, but the Lord knows what was in our heart, and he knows it's not just a selfish thing for me. It's a place where I commune with people and connect with people and all that kind of stuff. And so I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, so I can't go to coffee bars three times a week, cafes three times a week. What can I do? How you know, I don't like coffee. I only like good coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't like instant stuff. I just never have done, never really. I'd rather have a cup of tea. And but I like real coffee. I don't even mind if it's perked, you know. I don't mind, as long as it's nice. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, you know what? When I got into my house, Lord, I would really like a really nice coffee maker. And I'd been to friends of mine places and they had nice coffee makers, but they never stayed hot. You know, the coffee makers go cold on you and they're just horrible. I thought, oh, please, I'm not paying money for having cold coffee, thank you. So, Lord, I really would like one, you know, one that keeps it hot and it's lovely. And so that, I was just talking to the Lord about it, asking him about it. You know, Lord, okay, that's what I want. And I tell you what else, I've got really high cupboards in my kitchen and I'm a shorty. And so to reach up there, there were two cupboards that I couldn't even use. So I said, Lord, you know, what I really need is one of those lovely old stepladder stools, you know, with the padded top on them. They used to be the old-fashioned ones, not those things that fall apart in 2 minutes these days that they sell at the warehouse. I mean, those good, solid chrome things, you know, that would hold my weight. And so I said, Lord, I would really like one of those things so I can make use of those two cupboards up the top, and I won't be thinking, oh no, I'm not getting up there, I'll just leave those cupboards empty. So anyway, my sister graduated in Whakatane. She graduated, which was a miracle for her. It was just really special. We went down as a family, our whole family went home to her graduation to celebrate with her. And on the Saturday morning, we went to a little country town called Edgecombe. The whole lot of us climbed into cars and went to Edgecombe. And we went to what they call they have it every 6 weeks or so, a Paddy's Market auction. Have you ever been to one of those little country auctions, man? They are fantastic. They're so cheap. Praise God. They're not like Auckland prices. And anyway, I went, and this room was full, and so I rushed over and got myself a bidding number, and I went, and I looked, and I thought, Lord, what? I know, but I only had 10 bucks. I had 10 bucks to spend. That was in my budget, and if I'd gone over, I would have messed up for that, you know, for the next week. So I thought, Lord, I've only got 10 bucks. And so, and then I thought, coffee maker and a stepladder. Guess what? They were both there. Not only that, but the stepladder was the same color upholstery as my new lounge that I had just bought. You know what? God even knows about those sort of details. No, I mean, it could have been ghastly red or something, you know? Well, it actually gone in my lounge, but it didn't. It was this lovely deep blue. I thought, oh Lord, thanks. I was so excited. Anyway, I thought I better get into betting here. Bidding, excuse me, wrong word. And got into bidding, and so anyway, the chair came up first. And it started from 20, you know, and then nobody was bidding, and nobody was bidding. And then it went down to, look, they said $1, and somebody bid, and then somebody else bid, and somebody else, and I thought, oh, I'm going to better start bidding here. So I bid when it got to $5, and it didn't go any higher, so guess what? I got it for $5. Can you believe that? It was so cool. You know what? I had been asking God. It was a very real thing in my heart. It was very real. I had been talking to him about it that week. And then here was the coffee maker. You know what? It started at $10 and went down and down and down. I thought, flip, when it got to $1, I better bid. So I bid at $1 and I got this coffee maker for $1. Can you believe that? It was so amazing. And you know what? If you, as long as you leave the switch on, it stays hot. Can you believe that? I thought, man, God, you are so cool. And so, you know, that's what I'm talking about asking God and believing Him and just saying, Lord, you know what it is that's in our heart. And let's get back to 2 Kings chapter 4. What did Elisha do? Elisha asked the woman two questions. He asked her, number one, what do you want? He was saying, come on now, ask. So she's asking, what do you want? And then he said, what have you got in your house? Question number one, ask. What do you want? Ask what you want. Make it known to God. Make it known. Number two, what have you got in your house? Will you use for me? Will you be faithful with what I've already put in your hand? What have you got already that you can use? What is it that you've got? What will... And you know, that's not just money. It's not just talking about money. It's not just talking about stuff. It's talking about time, gifts, both spiritual and natural, energy. It's talking about all kinds of things. It's not just talking about money. And you know, I really believe that if you're obedient with what you've got, then the Holy Spirit is saying to you and I will direct you to use it so it will produce something for you. It's very real. It's a very important thing that if we're obedient, and here's this woman who she cried out to God and she was obedient. You think about it. Back in that scripture, she must have felt really foolish. She must have felt like an absolute fool asking her sons to go and ask them all, go out and get the vessels for her and say, look, I need all these vessels to come in because, and she couldn't even tell them actually what they were for. Because remember, it sounded like it was not for everybody's ears because Elisha said, come on in with your sons and close the door. So if everybody was asking, well, what that's for, she couldn't even tell them what it was for. So she just had to say, look, I just need to borrow them from it. I'll get them back to you as soon as I can, but I need to borrow them right now. Can you imagine how foolish that would have felt? The next thing that happened in this story is that she would have said to herself, remember the next part of the story said, and don't just get a few, get heaps. Don't just get a few, because you know what? We think, oh yeah, we feel embarrassed, and we think, oh, that's enough, because it's, you know, it's enough for us. We don't need any more. It's enough for us. But God is saying, I want to pour out my abundant blessing upon you. And what is it that makes us think that this is enough? It's because we have been so used to thinking that's for me and my house and me around. It's not. It's not the pouring out of the blessing so that we can be blessed and let's have a blessing party, thank you. It's so that we can begin to re-pour it back into the kingdom of God. And I believe that when we begin to change our thinking about that, we're going to see the abundance of God. And when I have begun to change my thinking about that, you know, God began to change. I'm going to tell you a story about how vulnerable I have been in this whole area. Last year, I have only just started producing the tapes at the back. You'll see a set of tapes there. And I have a passion. Part of my passion is to see people healed by the power of God. I have healing meetings through our church on a Sunday night every 6 weeks, an open meeting. I've only just started to publicly open them. It was just like a church meeting before now, and we're advertising it and starting to open it up to whoever wants to come. And when I decided that I wanted to buy a house in Auckland, I thought, I have the privilege of... I've always had a passion for the nations, and I'd love to be on the mission field. The mission field has been my passion for years. Right now, God has got me here, pastoring, caring, teaching, and equipping. And I'm really loving every part of that. And I would love to be out there. Because I learned on the mission field. I had the privilege of being often on the mission field for about 7 years. And I learned so many principles of God. But since I have been back here, I'm unable to go right now because this is where God wants me. But my heart and my passion is still there. And so God spoke to me about building a home in Auckland. I thought, Lord, I support, like 7 people on the mission field. They are my heart. They're my very dear friends who work hard. I believe in them. I believe in what they're doing. I see fruit. I'm excited by what God's doing in and through their lives. And I would love to be there, but I can't. I'm here because this is where God's put me, and I love being here. You can't be in... I feel a bit like a schizophrenic, you know. And please, I don't mean to put schizophrenic people down, that's not what it's about. But I just feel like I would love to be in a million places and lovely, a million people sort of thing. But I can't because I'm just who I am. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, if I've got a mortgage that's triple, how am I going to be able to do that? And I had a dream that night. God spoke to me in a dream and he said, that seminar that you teach, Cecily, I want you to put it on tape. And when you travel, wherever you go, I want you to sell it. And I want you to teach seminars wherever you go and to sell the material, to equip people, because people in this nation need to know that there has to be a breakthrough in the spirit realm for healing. And because you see, it's in the spirit realm, and if we don't do it there, then we're going to just be messing around down here. And God is wanting to teach us some good basic skills. And so I've been teaching this seminar for a lot of years now, and so I went, I thought, okay, that's what God's put in my hand, that's cool. So anyway, I went, and one of the guys in our church is a fabulous, does artwork, so he did up the artwork for me, and he did the cover for me. I had several choices, and I chose this one eventually, and I'm not really a corporate girl, so I chose the more relaxed cover, and so there was all sorts of things, and then I started travelling again, and every time I travelled I'd take them and I'd sell them, and I'd take about 10 sets or 15 sets of tapes, and I'd sell out just like that. And my friends used to say to me, Cecily, why don't you bring enough stock? And they said, you need to look at this because there's something wrong with your thinking. And I thought, oh, no, it's not. But you know what? After about 10 or 20 people spoke to me about it, I said to the Lord, Lord, is there really, why is it, is there something in my thinking that stops me, that says, oh, no, these jars are enough. I won't get heaps because... And I heard my mother's voice. I heard my mother's voice. Now, I love my mother, and she loved me. But as a child, I was a dreamer, and I had a big head. I really, I was a dreamer. I had thought big. I never was a small thinker. I always was. And in a little town of 800 where there was a shop, a pub, a rugby club, and that was about it, that was pretty tough. And so my mother was trying to keep a balance on this head of mine. And one of the mottos in our family was, self-praise is no recommendation. God began to speak to my heart. He said to me, Cecily, the reason why is because you think that what you have to say is not good enough. But it's not your words, it's mine. It's my word. It's changing people's lives. And who do you think you are? So I've got heaps of stock, girls. I sell them for $30 a pop. There are actually 8 messages on a 4-pack. And it's a whole seminar on healing. And I recommend it to you wholeheartedly. Not only that, it supports my missionaries on the mission field. That's the purpose of those tapes. And I just thank God for the privilege. You know what? I no longer think like that anymore. I repented and I said, I'm sorry, God, for stopping your potential, thinking this is enough. Because you know what I thought? I thought it was about promoting me. Oh, please. It wasn't about promoting me. It was about promoting the word of God that is truth. And why should I be ashamed of that? And, you know, I could promote anybody else's tape, sell anything to anybody. In fact, I was in the shop this morning, and I bought one. You know, I need glasses everywhere I go. And so I buy those $2 ones, you know, and put them in. And then I've got about 10 around my house, one in the loo, one by the telephone, one by my bed, one every, because I can never remember where to find the blimmin' things. And so I've got all these. And I was in the shop this morning, and I saw one in those little cases. And I thought, oh, it's, and the lady came and said, oh, you try them. So here I was in the shop and selling stuff in the shop. And it was so funny. And the lady bought 2 pairs. And the little Chinese lady behind the counter said, thank you. I have no problem promoting something I believe in, as long as it didn't have me involved. Isn't it interesting? Not like that anymore. So girls, those tapes are good. And not just because I'm speaking them. They have very good information. So I challenge you to have a look at them. And if you really want to learn, if you have a passion to see God use you in the area of healing, if you've got somebody who is really sick, I want to encourage you. They are available. And I would love to sell them to you. Besides that, you help me to support my missionaries on the mission field. So I really bless you for that. So, but you see, that is part of God's provision. And our thinking will stop us. But all we have to do is be obedient to the things that God has. Now that was verse 1. Let's have a look at verse 2 and 3, okay? Let's move on to verse 2 and 3. We're going back to Psalms. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Have you ever thought about that? In the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Interesting. We're going to go back to that. For his name's sake. So let's go. You know, when God inspired whoever it was to write Psalms, there were several people, David mostly, but when he inspired those men of God to write the Psalms, he knew when he was inspiring them to write that word that our souls would need restoring. You know, God spoke to me very clearly about this conference, and he said that there are women here who are coming here, and your souls are so weary. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Yes, your bodies are tired, but your souls are even worse. And you know, when you can't pick up in that area, when your souls are so exhausted, when you're thinking, you can't even think straight, and you begin to say things that you would never say in normally, you know, then God, that is the most incredible thing, because God really knew about that when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And, you know, if one part of your body, God, when God created us, he created us spirit, soul, and body. The spirit part of us is the part that connects. Now, right now, my spirit is fantastic. It's firing on every four cylinder. Every cylinder, eight cylinders actually. It's firing on every cylinder. But my body right now is really struggling. And my soul is sometimes doing that too. I have been really sick this last week. And so, you know, really, my spirit is firing, but my body is unwell. And so, but when one is unwell, when it's out of, when one part of you, your soul is out of kilter, then it affects your body and it affects your spirit as well. It does. You think about it, when you're tired and your body is tired and you've been sick, your thinking becomes, you know, you're not as patient as you usually are, and all of those things, it begins to affect your mind and your emotions. And you get a bit grumpy with the kids and get grumpy with your family, and you know, things begin to happen. And then when you haven't been looking after your spirit, if your soul and your mind and your body is not well, and you're not feeding your spirit, you're not taking in the Word of God, and you're not having your quiet times and the times with God that you should be having, and you're not really, you know, not should be, but the times that you usually have, and you're not reading your Word and filling your spirit and worshiping God and enjoying the presence of God and all of those things, and it's not happening like it should, and your spirit, then your attitudes start getting a little bit negative, don't they? You know, you start thinking things that you normally wouldn't think. You start getting a little bit down on people and things that wouldn't normally bug you start bugging you. How about that? Why? Because we're interconnected. Soul, body, and spirit. We're interconnected. And it's really important that we begin to understand that one part certainly affects the other. I love that scripture in Matthew chapter 11. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 11, starting from verses 28 to 30. I love this passage of scripture. It's a wonderful passage. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, you know, it says, when your body is tired, when you're serving and feeling unappreciated and all of the things that you do, caring for your family and all of those things, and then you just think, you feel like it's a thankless job, etc., etc., then what does the Word of God say? It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, it's not talking about the rest that you get when you go to bed at night and you close your eyes and you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning and you think, wow, that feels better. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes the most spiritual thing you could ever do in life is go to bed. You know, just get to bed. You're just not nice to be around. Go to bed. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go to bed. Sometimes we just have to be practical. We're so blimmin' spiritual, we're no earthly good. Let me just have a worship time. No, just go to bed. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you have to be practical. I'm not saying neglect your worship time. I'm just saying sometimes just be practical. But this is not the rest that it's talking about when you go to bed. Because it says, you will have rest for your soul. See, the Word of God says in Psalm 23, it says that He will restore your soul. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, God began to teach me about this in a very real way when my mum passed away. My mum was very special to me. We were very closely connected. As a young child, we were not good friends. Even growing up, we were not very good friends. But as I grew up, I realized that a lot of my thinking and the interpretations that I had of what was in my family were incorrect. Your children are very good recorders of information, but very bad interpreters. And I interpreted a long way back that my parents didn't love me. And so I was wrong. And I was wrong in my interpretations. There were reasons why I felt like that, but I was wrong. And as I came to understand how wrong I was, I began to repent and I began to ask God to give me grace and the ability to love. And you know what? Even to this day, a wonderful relationship with my dad. And I, at one stage in my life, before I was a Christian, hated him so badly I would even plot to kill him. I had good reasons for that. In the midst of that, I have such a wonderful, loving relationship with my dad now. God is so good. His grace. I stand today, ladies, as a trophy of the grace of God. And do you know, when my mum died, my mum and I, over that 10 years, had grown in relationship in such a wonderful way. It was so special. And I had grown to respect her as an amazing woman of God. I have some wonderful memories as a child, but not as many as my negative thinking had in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Isn't it amazing? Our human nature is so fickle, and it will always lean to the negative, not to the positive. And if you have one bad experience, I guarantee on a trip you'll remember that, not the million experiences that you had that were wonderful. Isn't that true? And so it's so human, so natural for us to think like that. But you know what? I've come to understand that I am a spirit man, I have a soul, and I live in a body. That is who I am now. I'm no longer manipulated all the time by my physical or my emotional being. I am spirit man, I have a soul, and I live in a body. That has changed my whole thinking about who and what God can do for me. So amazing. And I just thank the Lord that one day he showed me about that. He showed me through somebody who was teaching it, actually, and lights all began to come on. I thought, thank you, Lord. Anyway, when my mum passed away, my mum was a wonderful prayer. She used to pray through the night. She was really, I'm actually walking with the Lord today because of my mother's prayers. Ladies, God, don't you give up on your children. Don't you give up. I don't care how far away from God they were. They couldn't have been further than what I was. They couldn't have been further than what I was. And my mum just continued to pray. She was an amazing. And you know what? I never really appreciated then how precious that was, but I certainly do now. And another thing, just quickly, just in passing here, I do this every now and again. I come from a Māori family, and in New Zealand, it is known that a good percentage of people that are in prison are Māori people and Pacific Island people. And do you know what? My mother prayed for us and our family and every one of my nieces and nephews and every one of my cousins on the same age group and a little lower than me, and not one member of my family on the Māori side of my family have been to prison. Not one. I was probably the closest of getting there. But not one member of my family. And I know that is a result of a praying woman. Don't you give up, girls. You hold on in there, man. I remember hearing a guy saying once, if an old grey-haired lady's praying, give up. Because they won't. And I thought, yeah, that's right. Anyway, I was still travelling when my mum passed away. I was still travelling as a preacher. I was still travelling not only as a preacher, but a healing evangelist. And my mum died of a sickness. I had prayed for my mother for a long time. And people said to me, "Cecily, how come your mother's dead and you're still praying for people?" And you prayed for her, I'm sure, and she didn't get healed. And took all the grace that I could to be gracious to them. I can honestly tell you that. I wanted to give them mum. That's what I wanted to do. But I said to them, "Well, if I stopped praying now, because my mum passed away, for people that were very ill, there'd be thousands of people in the same place as my mother. But now they're healed. And God's still using me in spite. And I don't understand, but God knows. And it's not all up to me anyway. It's up to God. And all I have to do is be obedient to the power of God and the things that God has given me to do." And so anyhow, at that particular time, I was exhausted. I was emotionally exhausted. It was my soul that needed restoring. I could still pray, I could still travel, still do all the things, but my soul needed restoring. My mind and my heart, and I was still asking questions of God and things in my heart, you know? And I was saying, "Lord, please, Lord." And the Lord taught me about this scripture. "Come to me," says. "You're heavy laden. You're burdened on the inside. Just come to me and let the yoke of my Holy Spirit be your strength. Let my yoke." I began to think about what that looked like. I thought, yeah, if a horse and cart are yoked together, the horse doesn't go one way and the cart go the other. They walk together. Not only that, I noticed that they were yoked at the strongest part of the beast, the shoulders and the rump. And they were stronger together than what they would be separate. And I thought, oh, wow, Lord. Okay. Well, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and say, "Cess, if you allowed that to happen, then you would know a strength that you've not known before. You will know my strength, my anointing, my power, my love. You will know an anointing and walk in it." And you know, in the last 10 years since my mum's been gone, 12 years actually, I've known a greater anointing, a greater power. Because I remember when she died, the thing that I cried about was the fact that who would pray for me every day like my mother would. I actually said that on the phone when they gave me the news, and an old lady who was standing with me at the time when I got the news said to me, "Cecily, I will." She writes to me every now and again, and she says, "Don't forget, I pray for you every day." That means so much. But you know, I began to say, "Okay, Lord, so I can have rest for my soul as I allow your spirit to yoke itself to me. Because then I'm not doing it. We are. You're directing me. You're giving me strength. You're showing me. Because otherwise I'm just doing this on my own." And you know, it's so easy for us to just to do stuff on our own. But the Holy Spirit wants us to begin to walk with him and allow his strength and his preciousness and his love to begin to walk, and we walk together. And I really want to encourage you that God wants to do some amazing things in and through us. And you know, the other thing that God showed me about that is in that whole being yoked together. It says, "And let me learn from you." And I tell you, we need to learn from being yoked together by the Holy Spirit. And it isn't always easy. The situation that I remember as a child, I used to go out to work sometimes with my dad. My dad had this dog, and his name was King. Dad could work the sheep about a kilometre away with a whistle. He had about 50 instructions, and he could just work the sheep And he just used this whistle, and they would just come down out of the hills, and he'd just bring them all, and the dog would just bring them all down, and he'd just give them instructions. He'd be down the bottom of the hill with the horse or the motorbike or whatever it was, and here they were. And I'd be thinking, wow, that's amazing. And then one day, King got to be a bit old, and so he thought he'd better try a new dog, he'd be a new pup. So Dad got a new pup, and her name was Cindy. Oh man, she was fantastic. We weren't allowed, you know, farmers have pets. They have pets and work dogs. And we weren't allowed. The only thing you were allowed to do with the work dogs was pat them on the head and feed them. That was it. And we just loved this pup, but we weren't allowed to pet her because she had to learn Dad's voice, the master, not ours. And so anyway, I watched them. I watched my dad with them and Cindy, she had everything going for her. She had the right breeding, same as us. We have the right breeding. We have everything going for us as Christians. We are kids. We are the King's kids. We're the right breed. We've got everything going for us. We've got enthusiasm. You know, the only thing that we really lack sometimes is wisdom. And Cindy was just a bit like that. She was fantastic. She had everything going for her, absolutely everything going for her. But she would send the sheep in all directions, you know. And sometimes it's like that for us. But my dad was pretty clever. After a little while, he got a collar for King and a collar for Cindy and a short chain. And we'd have lunch together, and it was time to work again, so he'd get up and he'd give King an instruction, and off we'd go, and Cindy was dragging by the neck. And you know, after a little while, she didn't like gravel rash anymore. And she started to listen and hear the instructions for herself. You know, I believe that that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. If you yoke yourself to me, and I lead you, then you'll begin to hear my voice and listen and learn my ways. And I will begin to direct you and show you the things that you want. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like quite a lot of gravel rash. And after a little while, you think, God, when is this gravel rash finishing? When you listen to me? Yeah? And you see, that's what God is saying. And then you will have rest for your souls. And then you will have rest for your souls. It's really important that we begin to see that that's what God wants for us. And I want to encourage you ladies that, you know, God wants to do some amazing things in and through us. And then the last point, it says, my righteousness. So we've done my provision, my restoration, now my righteousness. I want to say this about the righteousness of God. We do not earn righteousness. Righteousness was paid for you and I at the cross of Calvary. And when we said to the Lord, and when we say to God, God, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I want you to touch my life. I want you to fill me. I want you to do with me what you want to do. Lord, please come and touch me and fill me. Show me who you are. And who you want me to be, Lord Jesus, then we are covered by the robes of righteousness. We don't earn righteousness, and sometimes we come in and out of walking in our own, what we think is our own righteousness and the righteousness of God, that we have to earn the righteousness of God. No, we don't. The righteousness of God is ours because of who we are. Because of our position, because we are kings, because we are daughters of the king, we are king's kids, sorry. And you know what? The righteousness of God was done because of what Jesus did at the cross. The righteousness of God is because of what Jesus did for you and I. The Bible says very clearly that our own righteousness is as dirty rags. But you know, the Lord doesn't look at our righteousness when he looks at us. He looks at his robe of righteousness that is upon us, his love, his provision, the things that he has for our lives. And that's why I love Psalm 23, because I believe that we begin to see the things that God has for us as very real. I believe today that there are several women here who have come to this conference and you've been absolutely exhausted. Now, it's not just a physical exhaustion, because you've actually recently had a little bit of a break, but you don't feel any better. I want to tell you that some of that is actually spiritual. And we need to break some of that in the spirit realm today. We need to take authority over it, because you know what? We don't recognize it at the time, and it just sits on us, and we start accepting it as normal, but it's not. And it is a power in the spirit realm that we have to take authority over. I want to encourage you, ladies, that don't accept it. It's a lie from the pit of hell, and if the devil can make us think it's normal, then he will. I've been in that. I've even this year caught myself on occasions slipping into that, this is normal for me. No, it's not. You know, sometimes we begin to kick butt, I call it, in the spirit realm. And not just accept what looks like it's normal. Because is it really? No, it's not. And we don't recognize it. I want to tell you, ladies, the devil hates us. He doesn't just not like us, he hates us. The Bible says that. And so we need to begin to see that God has got some amazing things for us. But we have to actually mean business with God and take authority. Could you please stand right now? Those of you that are feeling in your heart that things are really tough right now. You're feeling exhausted in your body. You're feeling exhausted in your mind. You're having trouble thinking you're losing things and forgetting words and sentences and people's names and all kinds of things. And it wasn't quite that bad about a month or two ago, but it's got progressively worse. And you've just thought, oh, I'm exhausted. I need to take a break. I want to tell you that part of it is so, but there is something going on in the spiritual atmosphere right now, because it's happening everywhere, and it's a spiritual thing that we're needing to take authority of. So if that's you, I want you just to close your eyes, nobody looking. I want you to put your hands up right now. Close your eyes and just put your hands up. Nobody's looking at you. They can't see who's next to you or anything. And I want you to begin. We're going to begin to pray in the spirit realm. I'm going to pray on your behalf. If you speak in a prayer language, the prayer language of tongues, then you go for it. Okay, we're going to start right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just take authority right now over the spirit realm, over the spirit of oppression that is planting itself on people and they're accepting it as normal. I just come against it in Jesus' name, and I bind and I break its power. There's coming over people's minds, over their emotions, over their soul, over their thinking. I come against you right now in Jesus' name. Shaka baba baki siki. I come against you, devil. You are a liar, a cheat, and a thief. And you are robbing from the woman of God of this nation. And I speak to you in the spirit realm. And I say, we are not accepting this any longer. We are going to rise up. We are saying to you, devil, no longer will we just accept this. And we come in the spirit realm and we ask you, Holy Spirit, right now to break it off. Break it off, Lord. We break it off. And Lord, in all of our hearts, we surrender what that means in our heart. And we just say, Holy Spirit, we surrender to you. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit. And we ask for the yoke of the restoration of the Spirit of God just to fall upon us right now. That we would know the strength of the presence of God. That we would know the strength of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that it's your anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage upon people's lives. Whatever that is, Father, that would cause us to begin to feel like it's hopeless. I come against that spirit of hopelessness in Jesus' name. Speak in tongues again, girls. Speak in your language. Shaka baba baki shiki. I come against you in Jesus' name. And I will not. I want to start, Father, in this conference by just breaking off the things that are going to limit the work of your Spirit in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That's going to make us feel like we're not going to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. And Lord, I just release your power right now. Release your power upon this whole room, Lord. Let the presence of God begin to fall in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Now, ladies, I want you to lift up your hands and thank God. Father, we come to with praise in our hearts. We thank you, Father. We know, Father, that you are the God, that you are the healer. Lord, that you are the one that releases your power into our lives. Father, we release the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that as we receive from your Spirit this afternoon, as we receive from your presence, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will fill us. Father, fill us right now, I pray. Fill us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill us in Jesus' name. Shukuri baba bakisa kararaba sirianda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There are some women here, and you are so tired that your muscles are aching from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. I want you just now just to put your arms down and just put them out like this. Just put your arms down and just put them out like this. Holy Spirit, pour your healing power down right now. Lord, let their soul, let their bodies, let their spirits, Lord, just be restored today, I pray. Presence of God, minister healing. Minister your anointing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, there's nothing like your presence, Father. Thank you, Father. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing with me, girls. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you that it's tangible here this afternoon. We can feel the presence of God. It's tangible, Father. Oh, Lord, we just bathe in it, Lord, and we say, restore us, Father. Restore our souls, Father. Restore our souls, our emotions, our minds, our wills. Father, Lord, cause it to walk with you again. Father, in our weakness, make us strong. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shakarabasi. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. The lady in the blonde hair and red jumper. Yeah, you with the glasses there. That's you. I sense God is really wanting you to know that the faith that you've been growing in the last 2 or 3 months has caused you to come to a stronger place in believing who he is. And God is going to teach you, continue to teach you in that realm of faith. And he's going to cause you to come to a new area. Don't be afraid to lay hands upon the sick and let that power that God has put within your heart begin to be released. Don't be afraid to see the power of God and begin to ask him to show you that. And such an amazing way. Just begin to continue to reach out to Him. And that faith, it is not for any, it's not just for, not for you, just for you, it's for others. And so that He's been teaching you, both in the natural and in the spiritual, and He's been taking you one step at a time. In the last 3 or 4 months, you've been saying, oh, how further can I go, God? But you know what? God has got so much more for you because He trusts you. He trusts you and He wants you to know that. I just really sense God needed you to know that today. Thank you, Father. Lady in the yellow jumper, God is, yeah, you darling. You in the front, can you hear me? Yeah, yeah, you. Is it white?
I'm going to wear a white
one. It's yellow. I thought it was yellow. I just want you to know that God hasn't finished with you yet. There's some things that God has got for you. You're a faithful woman. You love the Lord and you love what God is doing. And you're hungry for what God has got for your life. And you're saying, God, please show me who I am. Do you know what? God wants you to know that He's got some lovely things for you. He's got some really special things for you. As you begin to pray, God's going to hear the cry of your heart. Don't let go of those things that He's promised you on the inside. And begin to say, thank you, Lord. I receive them by your power. I receive them by your Holy Spirit. Don't think that God wouldn't talk to you, that He wouldn't speak to you. Sometimes we limit God because we think that why would He speak to me? There are other people that need it more. But He knows that you need to know His love, how much He loves you and how precious you are to Him. And I just sense that you needed to know that right now. So God, I really wanted to just encourage you with that. Amen? You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a scripture, the lady in the red. That one. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think, according to the power of God that works in you. Don't limit God because of your thinking being small. Don't limit, because the power of God in you is much greater than what your thinking is. As you begin to extend it and say, God, give me an ability to think bigger the way that you think, and begin to ask for more as you do, you're going to begin to see the anointing of God grow on the inside of your life. You're going to see the power of God being released in a much greater way. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. You ask and watch the explosions of the Holy Spirit begin to happen. An answer, in direct answer to the cry of your heart for specific things, and begin to just watch it happen. Things that you've been asking for a long time, God is going to answer because of that anointing. Don't hold back. Just keep pushing and let the power of God flow. Amen. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Lady over here at the striped. Yeah, that's you. Yeah, God wants you to know that there's a scripture in Psalm 103 from 1 to 5. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Sometimes we get so busy doing the things that God wants us to do, we forget about all the benefits that He's got for us. I really sense God wanting you to know today that the benefits that He has for you are great and mighty. And in the midst of that, you're going to begin to soar like an eagle again. He's going to renew your youth like an eagle again. And even though, because you know what, on the inside, although your body is getting older, your spirit is so young. Your spirit is so young. And God knows that about who you are. And you just keep allowing that to happen by remembering the benefits that God has and taking them every day, one part at a time. Amen? Amen. The little baby there. God just really wants to, isn't it gorgeous? This is yummy, isn't he? God wants you to know that he's given you, sometimes you feel like that you're never going to get out of this. But you know what? God has given you a very special gift right now. And that is the call of God on your life right now. And as you come into the presence of God, He will restore your soul to give you the ability for the gifts that you need right now, to begin to do the things that He's got for you, to begin to walk in faith for your family, walk in faith for your life, walk in faith for the things that He's got for you, because He actually has got a lot more for you than what you think. There is an authority on the inside of you in the area of prayer and intercession that God has got, and you sometimes in the middle of the night wake up and think, why am I awake? I should be asleep because I'm exhausted. God, why am I awake? And you know what? It's actually part of what God is doing in your heart and in your life. So don't hold back. Just say, okay, God, be like Samuel and say, okay, God, what do you want? And you know what? He will tell you. Yeah, He will tell you and He will direct you, and it won't be hard. It'll be simple, and He'll give you every ability in faith to do what it is that He's asking. Amen? Amen. Lady at the back with the black. Yeah. Yeah, you. God wants you to know that you're a woman of faith, that you have a huge heart for people that are hurting, huge heart. And sometimes you think, oh God, how can my heart stretch any further than it is? It's not you stretching it, it's God. God's increasing the capacity of your heart. You've always been a woman who has picked up people that are hurting. You've always gone towards them, because God knows that you have compassion, a gift of compassion for them. And it is God's gift, and as you begin to use it, you will see the power of God being unleashed in your life. You use the gift of compassion that God has given you. Oftentimes people with compassion need to ask for wisdom, because their hearts are so big they miss out on some of the other things that God has got for them. But I really want to encourage you, ask for wisdom. The Word of God says if you lack wisdom, ask for it. And then begin to see the Holy Spirit do some really lovely things in your life. Amen? Amen. God really loves you, sweetie. You've got a beautiful spirit, a really beautiful spirit. And God wants you to know that that spirit that He's put is because you connect with His spirit. And as you connect together, it grows more and more and more. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I thank you for this faithful woman of God. I thank you, Lord, that this woman of God has been faithful for many years. And Lord, that you have poured upon her your blessings. Mm-hmm. You have poured upon her, Father, the richness of your grace. You have poured upon her, Father, so many awesome things. But of late, there's been some things that she's been asking for and crying with mercy in her heart. Lord, I pray we agree together today, her and I, Father, in the spirit realm. Father, we agree together for those things that she's been crying for. Father, we just pray, we thank you in faith, believing, releasing the power of God for the desire that you have within her spirit. Lord Jesus, we release your anointing upon her right now to receive that which you have for that desire in Jesus' name. Father, you know what it is. You know, Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I don't have to know what that is, but I know that it's real. So I just ask, Father, that you release your anointing. You release your anointing, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're a faithful God. You're a faithful God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, thank you that you have honored this woman. Continue to do so, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I pray that she would continue through her life to walk, as it were, in a bubble of the love of God. Father, as she shares your love with others and she receives it for her spirit, Father, restore her soul today, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Oh, man, the presence of God is just beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we look forward, Father, to your power, your authority, your love, your presence, continuing to work and be upon us and through us this week, this weekend, Father, as we just sit and we just, Lord, receive from your presence, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If anyone would like prayer, and there probably are some that have come really just at the beginning, just really specifically wanting something specific. Remember, we've got tomorrow as well. But if you would like, I would love to pray with you. I know that we have gone over time. but I really just would love to pray with you. I believe the anointing is here to heal. If you would have, if you've got sickness in your body and you would like prayer for healing, please come, and we'll agree and let the anointing of God touch you and minister to you in Jesus' name. Amen.